we want to welcome you to the New Song Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Colorado Springs. We love receiving your prayer requests and comments at newsongcs.com. Thanks for listening as Pastor Stephen Hibden shares an encouraging word of God's love.
We talked about our sweet spot. It's discovered when we bring glory to God through what we do. I don't bring glory to God through singing. I know that. I was making a point. And we could get into how do I find my sweet spot? What do I do to discover my sweet spot? What do I discover my why? There are techniques. There are methods. They're all important. They're all great. It's very interesting to look at your giftings, to take tests, see what your past tells about your future, all those kind of things. But remember, at the heart of living in your sweet spot is not the tangibles. Something that supersedes the commonness and the mundane of your life, that supersedes all of the yearning and the longing, are the words of Jesus. And these words are, the words are this: I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. I probably mention that scripture almost every week in this church. It's one of my favorites. But I do know that God has called us to have a full life. And it can come by pursuing certain things, but the best way it comes is by pursuing Jesus. Listen to this. Remember the sweetest version of yourself. Not the sweetest, like I'm so sweet. But maybe you are sweet. But I'm talking about the sweetest version of yourself. Probably the sweetest guy I know is here today. It's good to see you, Ken, in our church. He is. He's pretty sweet. He's pretty tough. He acts tough, but he's pretty sweet. It's nice to have you today. Sweetest version of yourself. Someone else is feeling like they're left out. Dan, you're sweet too. Where's Dan? Yes, you're sweet. I was thinking of you when I said that, and then I saw Ken. I had to say, Bill. Okay, Bill's the sweetest, I guess. Sweetest version of yourself and the most fulfilling life you can have is not discovered in the destination of a certain job, a certain mate, a certain house, a specific car, or even an amount of money. It's found in the journey as you walk closely with Jesus. That's where your sweet spot is found. I've heard it said, it's not, and I don't know if this is true, but kind of it is. It's not as important where you do what you do or what you even do. What's most important is who you do it with, and that's Jesus, doing it with Jesus. If we moved here, Cynthia and I, the family, and helped the church, and we're part of your body, and we're successful, it would be great. But we would not be in our sweet spot if it was dependent upon us. But if it's dependent upon our connection with Jesus, then we find ourselves right in the center where we're supposed to be. It's found in the name of Jesus. Your name is victory. Jesus, there I go again, trying to live in this connection. This pairing that brings glory to God. Remember, we had a speaker up here last week, and I paired my device with the speaker. This pairing that brings glory to God comes through a life dedicated to Jesus. Here's the thing. A life dedicated to Jesus, bringing him glory, living in what you're supposed to do, is not easy to do. It's not easy. You're shaking your head. You're with me. I know. It's not. That's why you need four-letter word, help, H-E-L-P. You need help. You can't do it alone. I am not alone. I do it with Jesus, but we need others around us. I've seen it over and over again. When people try to do things themselves, their gifts stay covered, or maybe they get discouraged, and then they cover them up. Maybe they feel defeated. I've seen when people try to do it alone, they use their gifts wrongly, they get puffed up, or they get the opposite, they get discouraged. The thing is, we can't do it alone. We function freely and confidently and humbly in the context of together. We must have, and this doesn't sound very biblical, but just hear it out. We must have collaboration. We must have cooperation. Another way to say it is we must have the gifts working together. We need an outlet. We need an outlet because our lives are not meant to live as swamps. If there was a bunch of swamps that come into this place, this place would smell. And I don't want that. I want a bunch of rivers to come into this. What's the difference? A swamp has water. Yes, that's good. Water is good. It represents the Holy Spirit. But water comes in, and then it just stays. It stays, and it becomes stagnant, and it becomes stinky, and then it's not good for anything. You can't even drink it. We're called to be rivers. There's a scripture in John chapter 4, verse 13 through 14. I want to read it in the Message version because it's so familiar to you. I want to say it in a different version. John 4, 13 through 14. It says this. Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks this water will get thirsty again and again. Anyone who drinks the water I will give will never thirst, not ever. The water I give will be an artesian spring within." I love that picture. "Gushing fountains of ending life? No, endless life." That's what we're supposed to live like. And people wonder, they start to do it alone and they wonder why they're not enjoying their race, why they feel empty, why they feel stagnant, why they feel like a swamp. It's because we need together. We need each other. Gifts function best in the context of a family. And I want to entitle this message today kind of a peculiar title, Dating Aspens. What the heck do you mean? You're writing it down in your notes, right? Because you're taking notes, Dating Aspens. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be together in your house once again. Lord, I pray that we would be together all week long, that we would make opportunities to be together, and we would encourage one another. I thank you that you bring together such a mishmash of different lives in this room. There are young, there are old, there are different, there's diversity. There are people that have been with you for their lives for many years, and those who have just met you. And I pray that we would all encourage one another. In Jesus' name, I pray that we would be attentive to what you have to say to us today. And I want to ask you a question. In Jesus' name, amen. How many agree that Colorado, just raise your hand whether you agree or not. Okay, so it's not really a question like a survey. Everyone's together. How many agree that we have one of the most beautiful states in the United States, right? How many agree that we have one of the most beautiful trees here, the aspen trees, am I right? Aren't they the trees that are, what color are they? White and yellow and beautiful, like bright. It's almost like neon. Like when you see them, you take a drive to Breckenridge or somewhere like that, you see these beautiful trees. Aspens are unlike any other tree there is. Little biology lesson or biology, yes. Science. They grow in groups. They share roots together. Their roots entangle with each other. They don't go deep. They go wide, out this way, and they entangle with one another, and they share their nutrients. They share their gifts. They share their the stuff that makes them grow. And they also share the sun. That's why they're always facing the sun. They find the sun, and they look for the sun together. They seek the sun together. And then what's awesome about them, too, is that they need shade, and they grow in groups, so they share the shade as well. And that's why they're so pretty. And I think that sounds a lot like a healthy body of believers. It does. It sounds like it because they grow in groups. They share roots. Nutrients, seek the sun, and share the shade. You almost start to cuss when you say that, share the shade. But it also reminds me of those gifts to the body that choose to be planted by themselves. There's gifts to the body, and please don't feel condemned by this because it's really just a word to the church in general. Because all of us fall into this sometimes. Even when you would say this is your church, you might even come every week. But at times we fall prey to just coming to church and not sharing the shade, seeking the sun, sharing the roots. We find ourselves trying to do it alone. And that's why that picture today was so perfect of the people running, because we were talking about tailwinds. I knew that was for us. And they'll come to church. They'll share the shade, but they don't set down roots. No one's going to say amen to this because you're like, whoa. They like the benefits, but resist the commitment. And it's not just a commitment to the church. It's a commitment to Christ. They enjoy the message, the music, the snacks, the parties, the perks. And someone called it dating the church. We visit her. We use her. But commit, oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. I have to keep my options open. Don't want to miss any opportunities that might arise to do something better. And the thing is, when we're looking to not miss opportunities, we miss the greatest opportunity, and that is the church, the fellowship, the family. When you fully commit, you never would go to Christmas and say to your family, "I'm still deciding whether, cousin, if you want me to." You know, Angelo might do that with some of his family. I understand. It's a joke because his family's crazy. So, Sina, it is. You would agree. You're the matriarch of your family, I think, and you would agree your family's crazy. Yes, you would never do this to your family. You would never wonder, but we'll do this to our church family. And we miss out on the opportunity, God's most effective tool for promotion, a key place to do the things that bring God glory the most, happen in the context of a church family or in the context of a body of Christ. Would you guys come up here, or I'm going to have you share in a second, Tim and Nancy. There's a scripture. It says 1 Corinthians 12:6, and it's going to be on the screen perhaps in a different version. I'm going to read it in the Phillips version. One I don't use very much, but it's talking about the church, and it says this: God works through different men in different ways, but it is the same God. It is the same God who achieves his purposes through us all. Think about it. Where better can we find balance and color from our empty lives than in a church? You're surrounded in a church by different kinds of people. Now, we're not so different because we're both Jayhawk fans, and finally I found someone who knows what they're talking about. Actually, you don't, because they were horrible yesterday. So dumb. But we're surrounded in a church by logical thinkers, right along with emotional worshipers. You're like, I know those people. Dynamic leaders, visionaries who lead, studious who ponder, and those generous who pay the bills. All kinds of people help us to be better. And I have the statement here. We walk through many things, and without the help of the church, we would be lost. Many of you would say that. I asked them to share a testimony to us along those lines. Would you mind? Who do I give it to here?
So this week, Nancy and I discussed this quite a bit because we really have, over the last years, well, year and a half or so, have really surrendered ourselves to Jesus and have been blessed a lot. I mean, we have been blessed a lot. If you know, last year at this time, I was barely coming off of maybe not making it. So not being with us anymore. And let me give a couple shameless plugs here. One to the men's retreat, because as Randy was talking about it here earlier, I really feel like last year, January, I was still on oxygen. We had the men's retreat towards the end of it, and I wasn't sure if I was going to take my oxygen with me mm-hmm. or not take it with me. And when That's we right. did, I'm going to get choked up on this again. But we got there, and we had a break, and so we went to the gym that they have there, and we started to shoot around a little bit. And anytime you start shooting around, everybody's like, hey, let's get a game together. I love the game of basketball. I've played it since I was third grade. And a lot of the men that were there were, I think I want to say, a little nervous about me playing because a lot of people knew. So a lot of the men were there, but I still I still was able to go up and down the court a few times, and I didn't realize until a couple weeks ago when men's retreat started to come up, or I maybe realized it but didn't grasp the full concept of it, that was a miracle happening at that time. I mean, I went from being on oxygen a week and a half, 2 weeks before, to literally running up and down the court with some very good men in this church. And we talk about how all the time how people are so supportive. You know, we say this is a family, and if you need anything, they support you in good times, bad times. No matter what, there's always somebody there if you want to reach out to somebody, or even if you don't want to reach out to somebody, know that the family of New Song is there supporting you because of who you are, because of you believing in Jesus. The hardest thing, especially like we have had long conversations about how I'm always resistant. We talk about what your plans are. You have your own plans. As a matter of fact, what we were going to talk about wasn't even this. My plan was not even to talk about this, but as we were sitting here and I was praying on it, this is what came into my heart, was that there's so many people that are out there to support you, and it's tougher for the people who are sitting on the side. Like, it was tough for me physically and everything to go through all that, but it's way tougher for the people who are close to you and who are sitting on the side. And that's where so much support, like Nancy can speak on how much support this entire family has given us over the past few years since we've been here. And we walked in here, and it started from the second we walked into New Song. I still give Chappie a hard time that he was like, come on over here with me. Let's do this. And I was like, I can't, brother. I would like to, but let's not. But it takes a lot to support people, and it takes a lot to let people support you also. Yes. At the same time, it takes a lot to open up. I remember laying in the hospital bed, and Pastor said the words to me, you have to say it, you have to want it. And it was so hard for me to, even at that point when I thought I was going to pass away, even at that point, to let it go, to surrender myself and to surrender to Jesus and let him take the reins, you know, take over everything. But once you do, it makes a big difference. There's a lot of times now that, that you just go.
Amen. Is that good for you? Are you, is that together? Great. All right. Give him a big hand. So many things I've watched you guys walk through, and that kind of sounded like a commercial for New Song, which I love those, but it's more a commercial for Jesus. Amen. For Jesus. Romans 12:5 says each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of his body. Romans 12:5 in the Message. Each of us finds our meaning and function as part of his body. Paul even uses the same Greek word when he's talking about the church's function, as the same Greek word as doctors use in preparing or getting a bone ready to work on. It's the word prepared. It's no way in our language does it give justice, the word prepared. But we come to church, we don't come with broken bones necessarily, but we come with broken lives. Would you all agree that you're a broken life? Broken hearts, broken homes, you name it. You're like shouting them out. We're limping with fractured faith. If you don't believe that about yourself, then you probably think of yourself too highly. You need people's help around you. There's a quote by C.S. Lewis, and he's talking about the church. I love the way he explains it. He says, in regards to what happens in the church, the moment we become bonded as family, he says, it is born when one person says to another, what? You too? I thought I was the only one. Family is born when one person says to another, what? You too? I thought I was the only one. I love the way he says that. Maybe turn this down just a bit if you can. Then we act in our gifting as we are designed, and we all find healing. Pastors touch, teachers teach, prophets speak words, some administer, some pray, some follow, others lead, but all help to heal brokenness in one another. And all help, what happens when a bone is set and put in a cast, when it's done, often they say that bone becomes stronger. And we all help each other to make the body stronger. Who's playing today? Could you come on up and play? Maybe it's Angelo or Jared, whoever. I've seen the body at its best in the worst situations. It's much like an emergency room, you know. I would never want to work in an emergency room, but they work best in situations where it's the hardest. That's what they're there for. And I feel like the church in some ways is an emergency room. It's a hospital. Jesus called it that one time in the Bible. As members of our family, I've seen them grieve a loved one, many different ones, one particular. I've seen that, and I thought, what do we do? What do we do? Not that we're healed or not that we're better, not that life even goes on after a loved one passes. But I've seen it, that the church step in and bring whatever it is in ways that no one person could do. I remember being beside myself a while back, and I thought, what do we do? And then the church all did their thing around, and they brought comfort where there needed to be comfort. And I've seen it as people walk through trauma or heartbreak. Brothers and sisters will come to them. Often, I saw it today even in a situation. They'll share their testimony, and then this is what I hear. What? You too? You've been through heartbreak? You've been through trauma? I thought I was the only one, and for some reason, when you know that someone else has dealt with it too, and then Jesus is right in the center, you feel strength. This sermon was written before we talked, so, you know, God's speaking to you, my sister. God's speaking to all of us today. As brothers and sisters share their testimonies and hear what you too, I thought I was the only one. It happens in victory as well. I've watched the church shine in victories. Last week we had a wedding in this place, and we all shared in it together. It was awesome. Just last week on Sunday morning, I heard great feedback. Oh, why? Because the wedding was beautiful. Yes, but probably the biggest reason is when the Spirit of God is there, He brings unity, and where there is unity, there is blessing. And you saw the blessing up here, right here on the stage. This last Tuesday, I watched 30, and I'm finished, I'm almost finished here, but 30 of our church family show up at a courthouse to watch Paul and Sandy adopt Amara. And the judge, I guess, was touched by the show of support. But the truth be told, it was just the church doing what God made them to do, because God designed us to be a family. Doesn't that warm your heart? It's not supposed to just warm your heart, though. It's supposed to kind of get you in gear, make sure that you're a part of this family as well. Because when we all do what we're supposed to do, God gets glory. God heals families through family. God encourages family through family. Can I hear amen? God loves family through family. Can I hear an amen? The more you talk to me, I'll be done sooner. So we're getting to the end. We use our gifts to honor each other. We keep an eye out for troublemakers together. And we bear each other's burdens. Here's the thing. The cure for the sweet spot, looking for your sweet spot, looking for where you bring God glory the most. You'll be in your common life. You'll be in your mundane life. You'll be unfulfilled. Consider God's church, all of us around the world, and God's church right here. Consider it your hospital for a common life, because God brings uncommonness through being with others. Consider your church family as a rehab center for discovering your sweet spot. I just don't know what I'm supposed to do. I wander. You find a family. You get in the family. You become encouraged. And your sweet spot, you will bloom. You will bloom when you are planted. It's found in the simplest ways. I want to pray right now. I want to ask God, would you just work through us in the simplest of ways when we least expect it? Lord, I pray that you would open up our minds, our hearts, our spirits to be more creative in the things that we do, and that we would see you at work in us, and that we would start to join you when we know that you're calling us to do something that sounds crazy or that might sound like I'm afraid to do it. Help us to step out in that. There's a scripture. Look at the scripture with me. It's found in Romans chapter 12, verse 5. I read it earlier, but it applies to all of us. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of his body. It goes on to say some other things, but I want to read it in the Living Bible as well. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 through 5, it says this. It takes every one of us to make it complete. You know, I think of like the YMCA or a yoga group or a PTA, and sometimes I think our expectation is that we're coming to our PTO meeting, and maybe there are some really close PTA meetings or PTO, I don't know even the difference. Maybe there's some really close ones out there. You're like, where am I going with this? Let me tell you. Maybe there's some really loving community groups, yoga groups, fitness groups, and that's wonderful. But I think sometimes we set the bar at that for church. And we know that Paul has such higher expectations and for the church. He explains it so much bigger than that, so much bigger purpose. And we know that God has so much higher expectations. And I encourage you to realize you find wholeness in a body. And it said this. I want to go back to that scripture. I'm sorry. It takes every one of us to make it complete, for we each have different work to do. So we belong to each other, and each needs all of the others. I love the way Paul says it there. Would you stand with me? Don't miss the place to find your place. Heal your heart and find wholeness all at the same time. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. It's found in your body of believers. It's found in your family, in Christ. Bummer thing is that your family in Christ, you probably will be with them longer than even some of your own family. I wish that all of our family would come to heaven. And we're going to continue to pray for them. But these people in this room, if they're followers of Jesus, you're going to be with them forever. It's good news and bad news. The thing is, if God accepted them, you can accept them too, right? Some of us, we don't like necessarily, but we love each other. And you need to accept them because you're going to be with them forever. It's kind of a joke, but it's kind of true too at the same time. Would you say this prayer with me? Heavenly Father, I love you. I commit to you. I surrender to whatever you have for me. Let me be used. Let me be planted. And let me bloom in what you've called me to do. Let us bring glory to God in our giftings, our weakness, and our strengths. I love that. I love that we have the ability to bring God glory through our weakness. You see that every Sunday if you ever come here when you hear me speak, because I bring glory to God, and I'm not trying to be fake humble. It's true. He uses the weak to confound the wise. How many feel like there's someone better than you in a certain area? Anybody in the room? Okay, some prideful people. No, just most of you raised your hand. God will use your weakness to bring him glory. What's next? I have three things here. Jump in the pool. Don't sit on the sidelines. Jump in the game, I guess you could say. You know, you put your finger in the pool. Oh, it's cold. Put your foot in the pool. Whew. Someone needs to just push you in when you're putting your foot in. And it has to do with the church. Has to do with the body of Christ. Has to do with living for Jesus. You need to just get pushed in. Don't just sit on the side. Get a good suntan. Jump in. It's time for an altar call right now. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I have to do this. Bow your heads again. If you're here today and you're on the sidelines, you're not in the game, you need to get in the game. If you like Tom Brady today, you need to repent. No, you need to get in the game. If you're on the side of the pool, you need to jump in the pool. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, or maybe Jesus is number one in your life, I want to give you the opportunity right now, real quick. Just raise your hand up. I'll see it. God sees it. Nobody else is looking. Raise your hand up. I need God on my... Amen. Anybody else? I need to jump in the pool right now. I need to get all the way in. Amen. Who else? Who else? Amen. Amen. All right. We're all saying this together, because if there's anyone else that needed to say this. Jesus, I jump in with both feet. Forgive me of my sin. I live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. I have one sentence I have to share it. Be like the aspens. Grow in groups. Share your roots, your nutrients, your giftings. Seek the sun. It's a run-on sentence, okay? Share the shade, and people will come from miles around to see your beauty. Let them see that in Jesus' name. Be dismissed.
Thanks for listening today. Remember, God wants to do the impossible through you and me. We encourage you to become a deeper part of what we are doing. Visit us at newsongcs.com and become a giver to the New Song Foundation and an investor in bringing this message of Jesus across the world. God bless you.